Let's come to our Old Testament reading this morning, which is Lana's going to bring to us, and it's from the book of Jonah, and we want you to get the drift of the story of Jonah there. Lana brings some two or three different passages of scripture before us this morning, but here we will see the power of Almighty God.
Reading from the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And now we move to verse 14, and we're going to read into chapter 3. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.' So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 day journey in extent." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lana. Well, now you have the gist of the story. God first called Jonah to go and to witness against the city of Nineveh. They were arch enemies of Israel. But Jonah made haste to flee from God to Tarshish. So he did, as we recall, the opposite of what Abraham did when God called Abraham so many years before. Abraham was called by God, and Abraham followed God, not knowing where he was going. And so the question comes back to ourselves today. Do we ever Do we ever, and I'm speaking to myself here also, do we ever shrink back from an opportunity to be a witness for God? And in this situation with Jonah, there arose a great storm, and Jonah was found to be the cause, and subsequently he was thrown overboard into the deep, and immediately the storm ceased, and God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah alive. And in chapter 2 you'll note that while Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, there he repented of his sins and cried out to the Lord. And I could well imagine that he was sorry before he was even thrown overboard, but he realised the situation he'd brought upon these other men in the ship. He acknowledged God's judgment with the storm and his being thrown overboard. God heard his plea for forgiveness, and God, the God of all creation, caused the fish to vomit Jonah out onto dry land. Jonah then witnessed to Nineveh, as was God's plan. And many people today think that this is just a fable, just a little story. Well then, so was Jesus walking on the water. So was the story of Peter when he hopped out of the boat and began to walk towards Jesus upon the water. We're talking about the God of miracles, the God of creation, the God who created the heavens and the earth, created all of nature, and has full and entire control over nature and everything that happens. God saved Jonah to do his will. And if we recall back to the time of Christ, remember Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, and then he also repented. And God called him the second time to preach on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved in that one day. God is sovereign. God is the God that we worship today is sovereign. Our reading this morning from the New Testament comes from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. Verses 23 to 25. The writer of Hebrews goes on and he says here, also there were many priests, and we're talking about the Old Testament priesthood in the tabernacle and the temple, the Aaronic priesthood. And he said there were many priests in those days because they were prevented by death from continuing. So they'd be a priest during their lifetime, they would finish, and so it went on. But he, speaking of Jesus Christ, because he continues forever, and this is the great thing about our great high priest Jesus Christ alive in heaven today. Our salvation did not finish at the cross. You might say it started at the cross. And he is working in us today. Remember those famous words of Jesus, I must go to my Father, and if I go to my Father, I will send you the Comforter. Well, this is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, given to us by Jesus Christ in the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies in heaven today. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So we're left with the question then, the onus is back on us today as we sit here this morning. How strong is my faith? How strong is my faith? What does Jesus mean to me today? Do I pray thinking quietly to myself that nothing will change? When I pray, what is my mindset with God as I pray? Am I certain my Saviour can take me to heaven? Do I ever fear for my salvation? And do I ever doubt the Word of God? I want to take you to Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 17. And Jesus was being followed by a crowd in his ministry, and the scribes and the Pharisees at the time were trying to pick holes in his ministry. In Mark 9, verse 17, we come to this part of the scriptures where it says, "Then one in the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I've brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, and he gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' Jesus answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth." What a horrible situation we have here. And so Jesus asked his father, he said, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to the man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with many tears, and I think this would be our answer also, you know, "Lord," he said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." And then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. Help thou my unbelief. This was just one of the miracles performed by Jesus during his ministry here on earth. And we all know the final scenario of Jesus' ministry. He was crucified, he was buried, he rose again from the tomb on the third day, and he ascended back to heaven. And he provided the believer with his spirit as our eternal, ever-living high priest. He is able to save to the uttermost, save completely the darkest and most dangerous of sinners who commits and repents of his sin and gives his life to Christ. All who come to him by faith. So again, I ask myself, how strong is my faith? Is Jesus Lord of my life? In verse 23 there this morning we read, "Also there were many priests because they were prevented from by death from continuing." We're talking about the Old Testament priests here in the time of the law. With the Aaronic priesthood, there were many priests because they died and had to be replaced. They come out of the tribe of Levi. A whole tribe of the Israelites produced the men that were in line to be priests. They died and had to be replaced. They bore the mark of change. They bore the mark of change, weakness and death. They were but a mere shadow of what was to come. They were a shadow of what was to come. Their role was so important, and this is emphasised when you go back into Leviticus and Deuteronomy and study what God had told these men, how they should conduct their lives in the temple. With their dress and their washing to be clean. As priests, they were dealing with all of man's sins before a holy God. They were the man between the tribe of Israel and God. They did all to God's instruction. But sadly, they were mere men. Mere men. And in verse 24 there we read, "But he," we're talking about Jesus now, "because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood." The priesthood is not going to change. It's because it's the priesthood of Jesus Christ. He's alive forever. Forever. And this is the wonderful thing, and this separates the Christian from all other faith on this earth. He is going to give the true believer, repentant sinner, eternal life with him in heaven. And so we see here in this verse the contrast for the believer or the church, the believing church today, who has Jesus Christ who as their Lord, who is eternal. He is a priest forever and without change. His promises are true and cannot change. He was made a priest by an oath by God. He is our surety before God. He is our certainty before God. He is our hope today, our certain hope. His priesthood is everlasting, ever living, and ever active on our behalf. This is the beauty of the Christian life today. And then it's all dealt with in verse 25, where we read, Therefore, because of all these things that the writer of Hebrews has pointed out, not just in these verses today, but right throughout the seven chapters that we've read, he is able to save to the uttermost. There's no further, no higher that you can go than what Jesus can take you. He can take you to the highest place that you could possibly go. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. He is forever making intercession for us today at the throne of grace. At the throne of grace. Because he abides forever, there's not a single moment when he is not watching over us, sympathising with us, working in us in the power of an endless life. In John 16, verse 7, we read, Nevertheless, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Go back to heaven, he's speaking of. For if I do not go away, the Helper, this is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. I will send him to you. What is that small voice? That thorn in the side that pricks you when you attempt to do something or say something that's wrong and nasty. What is that thing within you that makes you want to go up and put your arms around somebody that's in difficulty and help them? It's the Holy Spirit of God working in us, bringing us into that place where we are fit for heaven. It's working on us. Remember the scripture said of old that the heart is so wicked, who could know it? And we see it being displayed all around the world today. We see corruption in high places. We see lies being told with a straight face. We see all these things happening. We can see the worst of man, but in Christ Jesus we can see the best of man being brought about. The life is being changed. The heart of stone's been changed to a heart of flesh. We have the wisdom and we have the Spirit of God within our hearts today. So he's able to save completely, to the uttermost. His saving grace cannot be disrupted. The Holy Spirit cannot be disrupted. In 25b, since he always lives to make intercession for him, without ceasing, his prayers of his love for everyone and every need of those who belong to him, every need of those who belong to him, go to his Father. Jesus is identified fully with all of his brethren, those who love him. When he hung on that cross, he was the sinner of sinners. He took the entire sin of the world upon himself upon that cross. He identified himself with each and every one of us. And without ceasing, there streams from the Father the answer of his good pleasure. God wants to, as a father loving his son, God wants to identify and to please and to bring about all that Jesus asks of him as our great high priest. He is the Son of God. And for us, the Holy Spirit bears that answer to us, that we would know the truth of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the understanding to understand the truth of God. How many in the world today believe the Jonah story of God? And it's not only that, there's the other stories that Jesus tells of actual events. The story of Job. Though he slay me, yet shall I love him. These are men who gave their lives to God. The Holy Spirit helps our understanding of God's word and the promises that are held within God's word that are directed to the reader, those who give their lives to Christ. The Holy Spirit gave the apostles understanding and the words to teach when Peter stood up on that day at Pentecost. There is never any interruption to his saving grace. This is the love of God. The Old Testament priests were never certain that their sacrifices would be accepted by God. The priest would be beside himself in fear and trembling as he went in behind the veil into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat upon the ark. And he would not be able to get out of there quick enough, hoping beyond hope that God would accept the sacrifice. But when Jesus offered the sacrifice of himself, the perfect lamb without blemish, innocent, the sacrifice was fully accepted by God. And now, as our high priest, we through him, as we partake of Jesus through the Spirit, we still do things wrong in the flesh, sadly. But the Spirit, our spirit and our belief is in union with Jesus Christ. And as we partake of him, we are fully accepted by the Father. We come to the Father under the blood of Jesus Christ, washed clean from our sins. Because he paid the price. He's washed us clean. We come to him for our washing and our cleaning. His sacrifice covered our sins, my sins and your sins. But sadly, and this is because we live in this earth and because we live in the flesh, the weakness of the flesh, our faith so easily wanes at times. Remember that man in the story this morning, "Help thou my unbelief." Some days we feel so sure and we're ready for anything. We feel close to God. There will be other days when we falter, when we feel weak. We feel like a failure. We're unsure of ourselves and we begin to doubt our salvation even. And this is where Satan wants to take us. He wants to fill us full of doubt. He wants to cause doubt to develop in our mind. And he wants to bring to us thoughts of failure, that we're not worthy to be saved. Let us be clear on this matter right here and right now. Do we understand the love of our high priest Jesus Christ? Do we know and understand that he will save us? He laid down his life for us. And he's in the very sanctuary of heaven today. He's before the throne today. And he still has those nail-pierced hands today that bear the mark of each and every one of us today. He's paid the price. It's done. It's finished. He laid down his life for you and for me. And he paid my debt to God. And he paid your debt to God. It is finished. It is finished. Now, Jesus says, I'm alive. I'm your everlasting high priest who has not let go of you. Our surety is in him. He cannot fail. So let us live in this continuing victory that we have because Jesus Christ, our great high priest, abides forever. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. In Hebrews 10, verse 14, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. This is the word of God. This is the surety that we have in Jesus Christ today. This is the hope of every true believer of Christ today. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Because we're in the flesh, we still fail. But our heart is with Jesus Christ. He's changing us. He's making us fit for heaven. That is the sanctification that is taking part in every one of us today. God knows that we're weak in the flesh. Hence, our substitute lamb, Jesus Christ, our great high priest, our intercessor, who has come that through him we can enter into the holiest of all and dwell there all day, every day. Remember, at the cross he died, and then 3 days later he rose. A few weeks later he went back to heaven, our great high priest, and he's there today welcoming us home to our sanctuary in heaven. Let us not hesitate to forsake all down here on this earth for the riches that he has in store for us in heaven around the throne of grace. There, with our Creator and Saviour, we are fully restored. Fully restored. Like at the very beginning when God said at creation, we read it all through the first chapter of Genesis, and it was good, and it was good, and it was very good. This was the creation before the fall, and Jesus is taking us back there. Jesus' role as our high priest is to bring us safely home to God. He will do it, for only he can save to the uttermost those who come to him. Those who come to him. And all we do is trust and obey. And I want to close this morning with a reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 32. Then he said to his disciples, this is Jesus, he said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat and what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Amen.